Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town, on a sunny day in the fourth largest city in America? We've got a full house. You know how it is when you're the manager or the quarterback and you're looking for that playoff stretch run and you need all hands on deck? That's exactly what we have today. From the left side of the plate, we have the original 99, the man who made 99 famous in a football jersey in H-Town, one Travis Johnson. On the right side, from the right side of the plate, we have the man that calls him Jesus instead of J.J. Watt, my man Barry Laminack. Behind the glasses, Nick Sharara, and I am yours truly, Joel Blank. We are here to talk about what everybody is talking about in the city of Houston and anybody in NFL circles is talking about. It started last night. It got going and got some steam. Trav, you can talk about the fact you were at a function for Whitney Mercilus where there was rumors a big-time announcement was coming, and after J.J. had left the building, it came. And when it went, it was big-time news, the news breaking overnight and late last night that J.J. Watt put on injured reserve. A lot of guesses and prognosticators are saying he is done for the year. He re-injured the back, and let the floodgates of emotions begin for Houston sports fans who have said everything from, we are still jinxed, this is unbelievable, it can't be happening, and then, of course, all the questions of why. It comes down to things that we've talked about in the past, but did he come back too soon, and is this going to be something that's going to affect the rest of his career? I'll throw it to you guys one at a time just for your initial thoughts when you heard what was going on. Barry, I'll start with you.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't surprised. I feel like it was he came back too soon, and it's I think the decision, when it comes down to it, it was ego based, and it was obvious the way that he opened up his statement with, "I haven't missed a game since my sophomore year in high school." That lets you know right there that it was the reason he came back early, or maybe rushed back, was he didn't want to break that streak. He felt like that was important, and so that was his deal. And I think in the long run, that backfired on him.
Well, one that's a lie of a statement, because you were redshirted when you got to college, so you obviously missed anywhere from 10 to 13 games.
You know what? Don't let facts get in the way in JJ's world.
He's not counting that because he wasn't eligible, so he didn't play.
Yeah, what does that have anything to do with the fact that you missed a game? That's like saying, I never missed a game, but you didn't play for a whole year.
Right, but at the same time, he kept all of his eligibility. So in JJ facts, he wasn't lying.
But here's the thing.
It happened at Wisconsin, so I'm going to let it slide.
You jeopardize your career. You jeopardize your team's future because you didn't want to miss a game. There's nothing wrong with that, because now you are what you put on tape. Your tape is your resume. Yes, you can say, oh, I'm J.J. Watt, one of the 5-10 greatest defensive linemen of all time. But right now, you make a Skip Bayless look like Prophet Skip by saying you weren't even a top 20 player right now at the time because of the stuff you put on tape and because of stuff you did. Because right now, he single-handedly made the job hot for not only Bill O'Brien,
which I said a week ago,
Jeff Kaplan, who's the head trainer, Roland Ramirez, the assistant trainer, the D-line coach, Anthony Weaver, and everybody else because you were too selfish to say, you know what, let me sit down for a couple weeks. You have now single-handedly, because now Bob McNair doesn't want to know how he got hurt. He don't want to know why he got hurt.
Why is he still? I mean, we talked about it. We talked about it at length. We said the minute that it happened, I talked about it with both you guys on different days. But the fact that I kidded and said that the Bears was like a fifth preseason game is one thing. But the fact that we all said it's better to be on the field at the end of the season when the games are more important, the attention and the spotlight is magnified because everybody's fighting for playoff spots and positioning, as opposed to if you miss the first 3 weeks of the regular season, or we even brought up, and I brought up the Tom Brady situation, even if he misses the first four games of the regular season, you can come back from that. But you exactly. can't come back from being on the sidelines with four games to go in the regular season and all the playoff seedings and opportunities, including possibly the division, up in the air, and you're nowhere to be found. That's when you need to be on the field.
No question.
So that's what the biggest problem is in terms of, I think you guys are both right. I think his ego said, and I go back to this, and I will read this to you people to start the show so that you are up to speed. JJ did send out a tweet about an hour ago that says, I haven't missed a game since my sophomore year of high school. This won't be fun, but it's necessary in order for me to return to 100% and play at the level that I'm capable of playing at. Everybody deals with adversity in their lives, many much worse than what I'm going through. I have great people around me. I appreciate the thoughts and well wishes from all of you. I'm looking forward to the fight back to the top and to the next time that I can step back on that field with my brothers to play the game that I love. You're the best fans in the world. I promise to continue to do everything in my power to make you proud. JJ. The first statement there solidifies exactly what you both said. I haven't missed a game since my sophomore year of high school. Everybody knows he hadn't missed a game in the NFL. And again, when the first prognosis came out, minimum 6 to 8 weeks. But if you're J.J. Watt and you feel like Superman, you basically said, that's for the common man. I will be back in 5 weeks, 4 weeks. I won't miss the opener. As much as we all said he didn't have to be there for the opener, that streak meant as much to him as anything else.
And it should have. Rightfully so, I understand what you want to be. The best ability is accountability. And say, I can account for him to be here. I can depend on him to be here. And I understand that. But the rest of your statement proves that you were never 100%. Because the rest of your statement says, I need to take time to develop and do all the things right to be able to get back to 100%. So that means you were never at 100%. And I understand that, you know, when you get a toradol shot, when you get a cortisone shot, when you pop a couple hydrocodones before you get on the field, that makes you feel like Superman. But at the end of the day, you were never 100%. So why would you jeopardize this team and your career? Right now,
there's a lot of people touching on what you just said. There's a lot of people that think this could be career threatening.
If you never play again, you aren't going to be you're not considered the best D lineman ever. You still need 3-4 more years.
You're borderline not going in the Hall of Fame.
No, he's going. He got three Defensive Player of the Year awards. He's going. There's no question. He's going.
He gone.
He's got the credentials, but you don't have the credentials to say, I'm the best D lineman ever.
Well, and Barry, and I'll throw this out too. Not only did he play in the opener, which he said he was going to play, could have only played 15 plays, 10 plays. Said he, you know, the streak continues, gets a little work in. He played 50-plus plays.
It's selfish.
That's a problem.
Yeah, he's out there. I felt like in the Kansas City game, he was out there getting numbers at the end of the game when he got that fumble recovery. It's like, what is he doing out there? If he knows he's still hurting, which he was, because he wasn't playing up to J.J. Watt's standards, why is he still out there that late in the game, just getting numbers? I don't understand that. I think it's funny, though, that J.J. Watt is like the anti-Jadeveon Clowney. Like, you can't get Clowney on the field because he seems to be taking forever to come back, and J.J. Watt is rushing back too soon. It's like somebody on that staff needs to get together and talk sense into both of them.
But no. You said, and you guys need to say something, but wait. You said, and you brought it up, and you were right, when he had Cutler in his grasp and he got away, that was a sign that he wasn't right.
Yeah.
That he wasn't where he's at. You said, and you're right, that while he's on that field, he doesn't realize how bad he is because he's not feeling any pain.
Yeah.
Because he's got the right meds. But when he gets off the field and gets done and gets back to the house at the end of the night, you start feeling it and you start realizing something's not right.
Dude, you went from not playing any preseason games. And the preseason is used for what reason? To get guys acclimated to how many plays they're going to play when the season starts. The first game, you play a quarter. You might get anywhere from 5 to 15 plays. The second game, you play two quarters. You might get anywhere from 15 to 30 plays, depending on how good your offense plays that day. The third game, you get a chance to be able to play a half, rest, come out, play a third quarter. So now you have that that ingrained in you of how do I rest and then how do I re-prepare and adjust to come back in the second half. That's what they should use the first four games for JJ and say, you know what? Game one, we're going to treat like a preseason game. Mm-hmm. We'll give you 15 plays. Game two, we might give you 30. Game three, because it's New England and we know you're going to feel a certain type of way out there, we'll give you maybe three quarters or we'll give you up 40, 45 plays. But to come out in the game one and play 50 plays, one, it's being selfish. Two, the defensive coordinator and Romeo Crennel and all of the guys who's in charge of them, I have a problem with. I don't think it was Anthony Weaver because I think Weaver's not the type of guy who says, just stay out there. It was all JJ when people were saying, hey, man, come out. Let me give you a spell. No, I'm good. I'm good. I swear I'm good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, who really has the final decision and whether he should be or should not be on the field? Is that J.J. Watt? I mean, has he earned the right to say, no, I get to decide if I'm going to be out here or not?
But here's the thing. That's the problem. When they started letting J.J. make all these decisions, they let the inmates run their asylum.
That's right.
And now it's at some point when Bill O'Brien saw this guy struggling and saw him out here doing this, and Jeff Kaplan saw him struggling and saw him out here doing this, somebody's supposed to call a timeout and say, guess what? Somebody get JJ behind off the field and take him inside. Because he's not helping us because he's not making any plays, but what he's doing is hurting us.
Guess what? Not only did they not take him inside, he's now on the outside. Looking in, and we don't know when he'll be inside again in terms of inside the ropes and ready to play football. We want to hear from you, 713-780-ESPN. You can text us. You can call. You can tweet us and find us on Twitter, at TrapJ99, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And if you need to, the dateless one is behind the window, at No Hit Nick.
He did you wrong.
He is awaiting your replies, but please send pictures because he needs to approve of any and all inquiries if they are to be made in person. We are here till 4 o'clock, and we are talking about J.J. Watt and much more, but at least for the short term, we have plenty lined up for you to give you all the information you need on Mr. Watt, the injury, and what to expect the rest of the way from your Houston Texans. And also, the team that just waxed your rear end may have had a different interpretation about how to treat an injury, and it may be looking very, very good for them because of it. We'll have that and more. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, now that was a first segment. A lot of fire, a little ice, a little bit of electric stim. And guess what? He's still not coming back and walking through that door anytime soon. As Barry likes to call him, Jesus, 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 J.J. Watt will not be playing for your Houston Texans for the foreseeable future. According to some, including our own Barry Warner, he may never play again. I wouldn't go that far. But he claims on his tweet that he will be 100% when he comes back. I'm not sure that anybody that suffers a back injury like that, Trap can talk to it. I've experienced herniated discs up in the top C6-7 area of my back. They are nothing to mess with. So I want to come back by saying, as much as we all hate the New England Patriots, and as much as we've all made our statements about JJ when he was coming back and when he should come back, etc., and what we just talked about, the New England Patriots happen to do something exactly opposite of the Houston Texans, which I know you find odd. And in the process, it may have lined up beautifully for them to have one of their best players for the rest of the season. Rob Gronkowski, coming back from an injury, could have done what JJ did. Could have said, I'm going to be ready for game one. Could have said, hey, look, Garoppolo needs me. I'm going to be there. But he didn't. And whoever it was within the communication department of talking between coaching staff, football operations, and the training staff and the player decided it was best to keep Gronk out for the first 2 weeks. And in the third week, oh, by the way, as almost a decoy, and Trav, to exactly what you were saying in the first segment, got him active, said he would play, probably played about 13 to 15 plays total. They obviously didn't need him for more than that. But what they did was they got him back in game action. They got him some reps, but they were careful with him because they know they need him and he's too important for the rest of the season. With all that being said, and all we just talked about, let me start the blame game. Who do you start pointing fingers at? Because we already talked about who's probably going to pay the price. But who do you start pointing fingers at when you say, how could you let this happen, and why was he on the field so soon?
I got to go. I mean, for me, I got to go with Bill O'Brien. Because, see, you know what? You got a guy in there like Jeff Kaplan who they're going to blame. You know, they're going to.
Jeff Kaplan is the Texans head trainer.
They're going to blame him for the simple fact is you didn't tell us that you didn't think he was 100% to go. They didn't ask Jeff Kaplan. I'm pretty sure they didn't ask him, and they didn't care. All they want to know is, has he been rehabbing? What does he say he feels like? Because at the end of the day, you can't give a kid a loaded gun. The attention that J.J. gets out there on Sunday, the attention he gets during the week, the attention he gets from the gospel according to J.J., you know, the persona of him, the greater than thou persona of him. The mystique of, that's the word I'm looking for.
You're
concussions,
welcome.
I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, he's not going to get away from that. He's not going to say, I'm hurt. You gave this kid a loaded gun and say, here you go. What do you want to do?
Well, I'll take it a step further. It's not only that. It's they're going to say, why didn't you tell us if he goes back and plays too soon, what could happen? Because I think that everybody assumed that if he was doing his work, like you said, and following all the protocol that everybody laid out for him, that, hey, if he's looking good and feeling good, then we can throw him out there. And because he's already had the surgery, then he should be fine.
That's the reason why they kept Jeff Kaplan. That's the reason why Jeff Kaplan was in the first place. One, he's a great rehab guy. But two, because he wasn't going to rock the boat. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
When they had Kevin there before, yeah, Kevin might have been a little bit, he might have been a little bit old school. But Kevin's also going to take care of the players. They know with Cap is a great, he's a great physical therapist. But they know he's been in the league long enough to be like, you know what? I'm gonna tell the coaches how I feel, but I'm not gonna rock the boat. And he knows, and guys know that's why they can put everything and make him a scapegoat. For the simple fact is, he's not gonna come out and say, I said don't play him, but you guys played him instead. He's gonna fall in line and be a good soldier.
Cap interned with the Packers. Cap was with the Oilers. Cap was with the Titans. Cap came here from the Titans to do exactly what you said as the head trainer. So again, whether he's blamed or he's the scapegoat, they're gonna have a target on his back. As well as other people. Barry, I turn it to you. As you look at the same situation, who is to blame for having this happen, for this scenario playing out? And do you see changes coming because of it?
Well, I think it's easy to say that it's to blame J.J. Watt, but players are going to want to play no matter what. I mean, they're going to want to go out there like Travis was saying. He's got other reasons. You know, some guys are going to go out there and play hurt because they don't want to lose their spot. J.J.'s not worried about that. He doesn't want to lose his shine. I mean, that's what he's out there to get, and it's that ego and the level that he's been put upon by the media and the fans and everybody else. He doesn't want that to decline at all. So he's going to go out there no matter what. I think it comes down to the coaching staff and the trainers combined not being on the same page and doing what's best for their franchise player. I think they equally have to share that blame, and they should all be in trouble with Bob McNair and whoever else would hold them accountable for it. Because you, as a trainer, it's your job to go in and say, you're going to ruin this man if you play him. He's not ready. And as a coach, it's your job to listen to that feedback and say, you know what? Could he make 10 plays? All right, well, then let's run him out there for 10 plays, and then that's it. Put him on a snap count.
This is
what
I'm
nobody did that.
When the inmates are running the asylum, and I said this after the New England game before any of this came to the surface, Bill O'Brien's got to be on the hot seat because of the way he handled all of that and because of the fact that they looked like they were scared and because of the fact that they were conservative. And for all the things that everybody thinks that he is as a quarterback whisperer and everything else, what he has done and what he has failed to do has to put him somewhat in the crosshairs. After this right here, and with everything that you guys have just said, if you don't tell me that Bill O'Brien is going to have to answer to the critics and he's going to have to be held accountable, because at the end of the day, to Barry's point, as the head coach, I don't care if you tell me you're ready to play. I'll make that judgment, and I'll also surmise the entire situation. If this was week 15 and I really needed him out there, then yeah, I would say, okay, whatever the trainer said, because that means I'm getting my way. I need him on the field. But if this is week 2 and 3 and 1, 2, and 3, I'm going to go, you know what? No way. I'm not doing this till he's 100%. And the other one, because we like the hashtag, don't be a Richard. I hope Rick was called Richard as a kid. But this has to be on the general manager as well. Rick Smith has to answer to some point, because at the end of the day, he's in charge of player personnel. He's in charge of players, which includes not only drafting them, but caring for them and making sure that they don't ruin a franchise player.
Right now, you know what? The only person I will call the Teflon Don in this situation is Rick Smith, because I'm pretty sure it didn't come down to him saying, you're going to play. Now, here's my question for you, Joe, is do you think that playing J.J. Watt speaks of a deeper-rooted issue with Bill O'Brien not trusting that Brock Osweiler could have won them the game by themselves?
I think it's an overriding theme on the entire ball club, not just on Brock's shoulders. I think because of the way he coached that New England game, and because of instead of coming in like the bull in the china shop and just saying, I am knocking everything down in front of me, and I am grabbing this thing, and I'm taking it, and we're coming home 3-0, he was scared. He was conservative. Third and eight, he's running the ball into the middle of the line. So one, to your point, it doesn't bode well for his confidence early in the season with Brock Osweiler, mm-hmm. which you and I had talked about, the fact that they were going to load the box and make him beat him and see if he was going to be the Brock of week one or the Brock of week two. But overall, as a football team, Barry, what I saw was a guy that came in here and said, I know their system, I know how they plan, but I know the pieces that they have, and at home, I just don't know if we can beat them. So what I'm going to do is trying to not lose instead of planning to win the game. Because after all, at the end of the day, Nick, what we all know is you play to win the game.
Now, that is true. Look, he wasn't ready for you, man.
No,
he wasn't ready for you. You know, there was an article a while back at the beginning of the season when JJ was like, yeah, man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be back. I'm playing the whole game. And he was coming out and saying that. Now, you know, I'm not an ex-football player, so I would have to defer to Travis. Is that something that you have that discussion with your coach before you go talk to the media?
But that's one of those.
That's ego-driven, right?
I mean, that's all ego. I want to use the A-H word, but I know I can use one word, but I can't follow it up with the second word.
You can say a-hole.
But, yeah, I mean, that's basically that's an a-hole move for the simple fact that saying, how do you feel about me as your teammate?
Right.
If you come out and say, I'm going to play the whole game on your crooked back when you need an old backy out of me, and you're going to sit there and tell me I'm not good enough to play half the snaps? How does it make – right now, Devin Steele should want to punch him in the mouth and say, oh, I couldn't get 30 of them plays. I couldn't get 25 of those plays.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that's a teammate issue.
By the way, we have said from the get-go that we bring you honest opinions, we break it down, and we keep it real. But whatever you just said, I'm pretty sure that is not the exact medical term.
That's what we call it in the locker room. Like, man, I need a backy out of me, boy. I need a new bite.
So there's a question. Did J.J. let his team down, and are his teammates mad, not just the ones playing behind him, because of the decision that he made and or with others to be on the field? That's a question that we'll address and much more because we are ESPN 97.5 FM.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
It's one of those facts of life days, Nick. You take the good, you take the bad, you take it all, and there you have. We're talking about the facts of life in Houston, Texas, which means the Houston Texans are going to take their 2-1 record at home at Energy Stadium to take on the Tennessee Titans in what should be a good game. Sunday, made more interesting by the fact that J.J. Watt's out for the foreseeable future. We have been heating it up and basically turning it over twice with a little bit of a glaze to make sure that we get it all cooked up, ready for you, and served up on a platter, and we have been doing it well. And before we get into any more, we want to remind you that you can reach the show by calling, and please, once you call, stay on the line. Otherwise, you become a Richard, and we always say, don't be a Richard. But call or text us, 713-780-ESPN, or you can reach us at Twitter, at TrapJ99, at BarryIsFunny, at PacManJoel. Reach us for the show if you want to get in on the living room, the locker room, the barbershop, whatever you like to call our humble abode, that we always invite you to pick up a pillow and sit on the floor until you've earned the respect to get a beanbag chair or above. And with that being said, we also remind you to hit the website, download the app, and follow us, take us with you everywhere you go. Travis is a little hard to rumble around with as opposed to me and Barry. But we definitely can make room if you can make room to have us. And Barry, you've got some of the people that have tweeted and reached out to the show so far today.
Yeah, Dr. Dre on 290 said Travis was holding church on Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon. Talking about nobody cares about the streak. So he was with you on that one. Tyler Scott had a good point. He said, technically, J.J. Watt missed a lot of playoff games on the, over these. So
unless it's the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, and then Lamont had a couple of things. He said that O'Brien did to J.J. Watt what Bum Phillips did to Earl and Mike Shanahan did to Terrell Davis. But he also said that was 100% a management decision. He said that comes from the top, and so letting him play, you know, was the fault of the management themselves.
And he put it on, as he puts it, his boy Billy O.B.
Yep.
Yeah, that's who it falls on. Like I mentioned to you during the break, when I tore my shoulder up that last time in San Diego, I literally was about to burn the place down to play on Sundays. I never forget the first Sunday, I'm thinking I'm playing, like, yeah, it's all right. Like, it hurts, but it's all right. And I go in there, and I have no stuff in my locker. And I'm sitting there like, okay, where's my gear at? And they're like, oh, we're going to sit you out this week. And I'm like, no, you're not. How about you put my stuff in my locker? And I remember talking the equipment guy into it. So now I'm dressed. And literally, North Turner comes over there and is begging me to take my stuff off. Is begging me not to go out there. James Collins and Damon Mixer are begging me while I got tears in my eyes. I'm about to go bananas because I do not want to miss this game. One thing I don't want to do, and I know it's my contract year. I know this is, I've worked too hard this offseason. I'm in the best shape of my life. I came in 298 pounds. I hadn't seen 298 since my senior year in college.
As opposed to now when you haven't seen your toes.
Yeah, I can see my toes. Okay. Yeah, you know.
Or other things in between that you also mentioned during the break that you couldn't get to. I meant where your compression shorts end, but you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But, you know, I don't want to go there. You know what? Reel me back in. But here's, you know, that's the thing. It took all three of them to finally say, Trav, it's just a week. Don't worry about it. Well, I didn't play anymore.
But what did they tell you? If they made the playoffs.
If we make the playoffs, Trav, we're going to use you.
And that's just
if we make the playoffs. And that's, they kept on reiterating. And we were one game from making the playoffs. You know what I mean? But it's just.
So they got the fishing pole in front of you with the bait sitting right in front of your face. But you have to question.
I got you a dollar.
Yeah.
Ooh, you almost had it.
Just missed it. But you know, at the end of the day, they may still pull it away from you.
Yeah. And that right, it hurt. And even all the guys.
You're talking about mentally it hurt, not just the injury itself.
Yeah, it hurt. The injury itself hurt too.
Right.
And I knew it hurt. And I knew I wasn't, I mean. Dude, I couldn't belly press. You know what I mean? And when I tell the listeners belly press, I couldn't put the palm of my hand on my belly button and hold it there. If somebody came over, my child could take one finger and pull it away. That tells you how I had no control, none over my arm. So they literally was like, Trav, your arm is going to fall off.
Barry goes through that with his wrist.
Yeah, I understand that. That's too much.
Sometimes that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know why?
It feels like a stranger.
Steve, but he can pamper me every day.
Feels like a stranger. But
you can sit on your hand and do the same thing. But, I mean, I throw it out to both of you guys. Is management in play as well? We all know, and Barry, we all know that, you know, coming out of the Patriots system, Bill O'Brien's a control guy, right? So he's going to say, we have a general manager, but he's going to try to be in control of that 53. Mm-hmm. So does Rick Smith play into this? Because I know in basketball it's a different story, and in baseball it's a different story. But from the standpoint of football, does Bill O'Brien have the blame, as Lamont would like to say, squarely on his shoulders, as he calls him, Bill a bozo, or is Rick Smith in play as well? And both of you can chime in.
Yeah, I don't believe that Rick Smith has a whole lot to do with it. My feeling is that the general manager would say, all right, here's your roster. Here's the choices that you get. You know, if they're ready, they're ready. If they're not, they're not. But he leaves that up to the head coach and to the training staff. So I don't know that I would try to pin this on Rick Smith. But I do think that it starts with the head coach and the head trainer and then goes from there. And, you know, like Travis was saying, when you got the D-line coach and there's a lot of other people, the fallout from this will trickle down. Don't get me wrong. The fallout will go all the way, you know, through both coaching staffs and the training staffs because of, you know, it's going to cost a lot of people or it could potentially cost a lot of people a job if Bob McNair is mad enough.
Oh, he's going to be mad. Because here's the thing. Bob and Cal are going to come to work and say, what just happened to my $100 million?
Yeah.
Tell me why my $100 million is not making me any money right now.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that, because we all know everybody in the city wants to come fill up the big building on Kirby and sing Turn Down for What. You know what I mean? That's what they want to come in the building and do. And now that I don't have my investment, I have a problem.
And someone's going to pay for it. A lot of owners are that way. It's not just about that identifying that I have a problem, but trying to get to the crux of the problem and where it came from. And to Barry's point, which I throw out to you, it goes back to the old Bill Parcells comment, which is, if you want me to cook in your kitchen, at least let me help pick out the groceries. But at the end of the day, Rick Smith is the guy, as Barry puts it, that is telling you this is your roster. He's picking out the groceries. He's laying it on Coach O'Brien's lap, and then he's saying, here you go. So I'm not – and don't misconstrue this. I'm not saying it's all Rick Smith's fault, but I'm saying Rick has a part in this as you look at who's to blame. And I'm saying that as much as Bill O'Brien can dictate a lot of things, and to you, you know every different team is different, but in a guy that's come under the Belichick system, I do tend to agree that Bill O'Brien has a lot of control, and he can say some things if he wants to get involved to say who plays, who doesn't. But I still think Rick Smith, who is very close with the McNairs, can come in and say, this is our $100 million man. This is not a guy that's playing special teams and, you know, we could use, and next year he may not be here. This is the man. So if he's the guy that you're evaluating, I believe Rick is going to have a say-so.
Here's my rebuttal to that is to say, and really, it's going to be in favor for everybody, including the coach. Because I'm already on record. I say this falls on Billy O, and this falls on, even though you don't want it to fall on Cap, it's going to fall on Cap. But at some point, you got to blame the player for not being honest. Because we are all think we, every last one of them think we're Superman. Every last one of them think we're good. But like somebody has to protect you from you to say, oh, I feel great. But say, you know what? Let's take it another week. Or, you know, like when he had the surgery, a week later he was out there running on the field when he's supposed to be laying down somewhere. He's out standing for 2 hours to come to practice when he's supposed to be laying down somewhere. Who is the person to say?
Come on, man, there were cameras there.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm just letting you know.
But
you know how he is.
But yeah, you know I know what I'm I know exactly what you're saying. But that's my the cameras to me, they're there to fire him up. But then they're also there to prove that, listen, you should have sacked your behind down.
Thank God the cameras weren't there to find out just how far Travis's arm could go. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
And if he could actually see his toes and other things. But, you know, we're here to...
because it hangs...
Your wife listens, so therefore we can get all the proof we need. If we need it, and I'm not saying that we do, but there again, it's there if we need it. Because nothing's off limits and everything's on the table when you're in the living room talking to us and we're talking sports. 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday right here on ESPN 97.5 FM.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be...
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Good things come sometimes from bad things, and we're dealing with a bad thing if you're a Houston Texans fan. That is the departure of J.J. Watt from the active roster. And the fact that he is on the injured reserve could be lost for the season. And we have been discussing it double barrel style here in the studio with my man, Barry Laminack, and ex-Texan and the man who made 99 famous, got 99 problems, and Trav ain't one, Travis Johnson, giving their perspective on what is a big day in the sporting world and football world of Houston, Texas, because of the fact that JJ is no longer going to be in uniform for the foreseeable future. Now, we talked a lot about who's to blame, what happened, could it have been handled differently. What we need to talk about now is how do they go forward and move on? Because from this point forward, as we know, once you're on IR and or you're not suiting up, to the people that are lacing them up, you are no longer a factor that they have to worry about. They can't, because they need to worry about what's in front of them, mainly the Tennessee Titans at home this weekend and the rest of the schedule. So from a defensive perspective, I throw it out to my experts, and we start opening the table up and forum for more discussion. Barry, I'll start with you. If J.J. Watt now is out, who has to step up, and what are you looking for defensively so that team and that team defense of Romeo Crennel's can maintain a position in the top five or so in the NFL?
Yeah, I think the obvious answer here is Jadeveon Clowney. I think that's the guy that has to live up to the potential that he, you know, he was drafted for. I mean, Devin Still's not going to come in and be able to replace what J.J. Watt gave you on an every game basis. But Whitney Mercilus is there. That's the first thought that I had was, how does this affect Whitney Mercilus and his numbers? Are they going to go up? Are they going to go down? Because, you know, when you have somebody like J.J. Watt on the field, the offense pays attention to him. And that frees up guys. It should free up guys like Jadeveon Clowney to do more. He hasn't been able to take advantage of it. But those are the two guys to me that have to step up and try to fill those numbers, and Whitney Mercilus and Jadeveon Clowney.
Well, and Barrett, what I'll say is, this doesn't help a guy like Jadeveon right now. Because, for one, they got Jadeveon playing the five technique. So by him playing the five technique, he already – that's why he didn't make any plays the other day, because they knew we're going to make sure that he doesn't. But I think what it helps is, you bring in a guy like Antonio Smith. Scooby is now back in the building wearing number 94, the old Texas Ninja, for all you fans out there that want to know. So he's now back out there. So by him being back out there, he's also going to be – because he's – him and Antonio – him and Weaver are a lot alike. You see what I'm saying? As far as technique, they're both
technicians.
And Weaver's
an ex-Texan.
And Weaver's also an ex-Texan. They're both technicians. So what it's going to help, it's going to help a guy like Jadeveon, who's not a five technique.
Right.
It's going to help him get his technique better. And Antonio's going to be able to actually help mentor him, so he can get him mentally involved and understand what he's seeing. That's one thing, is Antonio, what a lot of people don't realize, how cerebral and how his football IQ is, how high it really is. And I think that's the biggest thing that's going to help out Jadeveon. But not having JJ is not going to help Jadeveon. Not having JJ is not going to help any of those guys.
So let me throw this back at you. We talk about what it took to get J.J. on the field and when was the right time to come back, and then he had to get into playing shape. Now you're talking about a guy who was all but retired. Won a ring with the Broncos last year with his man Wade Smith, was just sitting out there. There's a reason why teams weren't going out and getting him, because he was later in his career. He's 34 years old. A lot of people thought he was done. He got what he needed to get, a long career, a ring, stayed healthy enough that he can walk away, spend some time with the family. Now all of a sudden he's coming off the street. He's coming back to a building in a system that he's somewhat familiar with. But he's got to get back in shape, and he can't be rushed back, because that's when injuries happen.
Well, no question. I mean, when you speak of retirement, first thing, I mean, we text, I think it was end of August. This was like August the 25th, August 24th, and I sent him some music. You know, we were talking about music. We love exchanging music. So I exchanged some music with him, and then I said, hey, you retiring, or are you trying to get you one more in? He's like, man, I'm retired. But I think, I was hoping he was going to be like, I'm working out, but I'm retired. And then all of a sudden, last night, I'm texting him like, hey, congratulations on unretirement, and how fast it was, because now you're thrust back into it, and you have to be the guy that we know you can be, because we need you to play right now. But once again, to exactly what you said, you can't give him too many plays, because he hadn't played a snap since the Super Bowl. So now it's like, all right, well, how many plays do we give Antonio? Do we allow him to start this week? Because he knows his defense. Do we allow him to start this week, or do we play him 15 plays? Do we play him 20 plays? How many plays do we give the assassin to see, can he go out there and make plays for us?
So with that being said, Barry, and the fact that he's not going to get too many plays too soon, and we talk about what you just talked about in terms of other guys going to have to step up. The other thing is, Brian Cushing's a guy that they may, and again, the one thing that people have to realize is, Cushing's on the mend, Dwayne Brown's on the mend. Don't think for an instant now they're going to be rushed back.
Cush practice today.
But I'm just saying, they're not going to rush him back on the field during games. They're going to be careful because of what happened with JJ. So it's a catch-22. You expect that Cushing could really help now, and you really need him back. But if you rush him back too soon, you may be dealing with another guy that suffers another injury that hurts you later in the season when you need him. So that's got to factor in as well.
It does. I mean, and not to cut you off, Barry, because I know it's Barry, but I actually spoke to Cush yesterday, and I was like, hey, how you doing? How you feeling? He's like, man, I'm good. I'm trying to go this week. And I'm like, man, take your time. You know, I literally told him that, but go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off,
JJ
Barry.
JJ Cushing, settle down. Right? Yeah, exactly. Don't come
inside,
back too soon.
That's the inside scoop.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, the thing that I wonder about is Antonio Smith coming back. I mean, he played in all 16 games last season, but he wasn't that effective. I mean, if you look at the numbers that he put up, he wasn't that effective. Certainly, this is not a guy that they're looking at to go in and start every game in place of J.J. Watt, right? Like, this is the backfield at that position.
Yeah.
I mean, Devin Still's going to be the guy that goes in and starts, right?
Yeah, for now, maybe, but he's not. Here's what we don't want to get confused. Antonio wasn't bought to Denver to start or to make a bunch of plays. He was bought to Denver to spell guys like Derek Wolfe, to spare guys up front, because he could play all three positions when they needed him to come in there and give somebody a break on passing downs if you needed guys. You got to remember, Antonio is one of eight total players that have had multiple sacks since 2005. This guy makes plays. He can continue to make plays and give you what your team needs. If he was in a starting role, which I think in three games he will be.
Oh,
if
really?
If he was in a starting role, I think the more he plays, the more he gets better, okay, and the
fellas,
more he makes plays.
Okay, fellas, let me throw this out then. You get Cushing back, right? You eventually get Antonio Smith in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're getting a lot out of John Simon. While Cushing was out, you got a lot out of Bulla, who's shown that he can play and do some things.
Mm-hmm.
Secondary's been up and down. Can they put Band-Aids on enough, and can they still be a premier defense the rest of the way, just subtracting 99?
Yes, because... And I say that not just because of the players, but because of the age of the players. Because these are vets, I hate you continue to use myself as an example, but I can only use myself and my experiences.
I like using you as an example.
Both good and bad. But here's the thing, I hate when you listen to guys and they always want to make stuff about themselves.
Nick's got his finger on the button.
I know, but I remember when I first got to San Diego, and they called me Dr. Johnson for a second. They were like, why? Yeah, exactly. So North Turner called me Dr. Johnson. And one day I had to ask him, I said, why you call me Dr. Johnson? He said, because before you got here, the entire D-line was in the training room. Now that we traded for you, all of a sudden they miraculously are healed and now they have practice. But then I got hurt Monday night after my first game there. I tore my hamstring, tore both my adductor and abductor. So basically for you people out there, I tore my groin. You know what I mean?
My groin.
So I tore that and my hamstring on the first game, and I played 50-something plays on that same torn groin. So we end up bringing in Alphonso Boone, who we talked about. We talked about the draft a couple weeks ago. Was drafted in the seventh round out of junior college. Then somebody else gets hurt. They end up bringing in Antonio Gray. We have this makeshift defensive line with nothing but veterans. We end up with the number one defense in all of the NFL.
Wow.
Because we were all veterans, we all knew how to play, and we all enjoyed each other, and we put that together and said, hey, we're going to go out here and we're going to make something happen.
Now, Travis, you are certainly not suggesting that adding Antonio Smith is going to make this the number one.
Last time I checked,
the Denver Broncos are still in the league.
I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying the adversity, when you're dealing with adversity, the best thing that can happen is vets be in a room to be able to pick you up by your bootstraps and say, listen, we're going to play this old school football. We're going to do technique, assignment, alignment, technique, and effort. And we're going to will ourselves to make plays. We're going to will ourselves to win games.
Yeah, but why is it that I feel like you kind of are giving Jadeveon Clowney a pass on this? Like, he's not the guy that's supposed to step up.
But this is why they went
and made him the number one pick in the draft.
But he should get a pass.
Why?
Because they shouldn't have drafted him number one and then play him in a 3-4. That's what you talked about because you went through the exact same thing. It doesn't matter though. That's their fault. The NFL needs to stop getting passes for not doing their homework. For saying this guy gets 12 sacks in college, that equates to getting 12 sacks in a defense that he doesn't play. That's their fault. That's the person's fault who brings him here. So you can't blame a kid who's never had that experience and put him and throw him into the fire of something. It's like a guy speaking French and you tell him go speak Arabic.
Okay.
You cannot blame these kids for that. You have to blame the guy who scouted him. You have to blame the guy who drafted him. You got to blame the guy who's coaching him. Because it's not his fault that he, and now all of a sudden you put him at what? The 5 technique? A guy who's 265, 270, soaking wet?
Would you rather see him drop it back in coverage?
No, but I need him rushing the passer. I need him rushing the passer.
And it comes down to, are you an outside linebacker or are you putting your hand in the ground? And he's, for the first time in his career, putting a hand in the ground. So that's something that has to be analyzed. But at the end of the day, whether you use dice, you use cards, you use dominoes, there's one thing that is true, Travis, and you are stressing it, and you're finding it out again as listeners, what we have told you time and time again.
You play to win the game.
That's it, and that's what they have to do. So guess what? If you play with us, then you play to win the game. When we come back, we will continue this discussion and more. All that with you involved. If you want to be involved, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter, ESPN 97.5 FM.